Once again, we are to hear the voice of Dr. Frank Robinson. And it is interesting to know that the same man whose voice we are listening to is at this very moment being discussed all over the civilized world, for he is one of the most prominent figures in the world of modern thought. His system of philosophy, which he calls Psychiana, is one of the most significant subjects of our times. For in Psychiana, Dr. Robinson has given the world an entirely new conception of religion, an entirely new conception of God, not an abstract theoretical philosophy, but one that actually works, that we can apply in our everyday lives. Surely there is no person who would not want to listen to such a message, and so we transfer you directly to Dr. Robinson's study in his home in Moscow, Idaho. As usual, at this time of day, we find him at the console of his pipe organ.
Come in. I guess I'm a little bit late, Doctor, but I got into a discussion with a chap and I didn't notice the time.
Oh, that's all right. Sit down and make yourself comfortable.
Thanks, Doctor. You know, as a matter of fact, this discussion I had was over a question which you might be able to answer.
Is that so?
Yes, indeed. Well, it was like this. This fellow had listened to your programs and is very much interested in them. Well, he made the remark that absolution and the confession of sins is an exclusively Christian doctrine.
And you?
Well, I was of the opinion that it isn't essentially a part of the Christian faith.
Well, you are both wrong.
Both wrong?
Yes. Some Christian writers have labored very hard to make it appear that absolution and the confessions of sins is a part of the Christian faith and exists in no other form of religion. And others have labored just as strenuously to get it out of their Bible and convince people that it is not therein taught.
Then what is the answer?
Just this, that the doctrine of absolution and the confession of sins is, as the scriptures themselves show, a part of the Bible, and, as history shows, also a precept of other religions antedating Christianity.
Are you certain of that, Doctor?
There can be no question about it. For proof that the rite of absolution for confessed sins is taught in the Christian scriptures, you have only to turn to James 5:16, where that apostle emphatically states, quote, "Confess your sins one to another," unquote. The practice of forgiving sins is also enjoined. Forgiving one another is recommended in Ephesians 4:32 and Colossians 3:13. And in Matthew 18:18, the quotation, "And whosoever or whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven," is also interpreted as conferring the power to forgive sins.
Well, that answers part of the question, that the Christian scriptures do teach the doctrine of absolution. But you haven't proved that this doctrine did exist elsewhere, that is, before the Christian belief came into being.
Well, I can prove that very easily, for the practices of both confessing and forgiving sins are very ancient pagan rites and customs. Speaking of their prevalence in ancient India, the author of the Anacalypsis remarks, The person offering sacrifices made a verbal confession of his sins and received absolution.
That was in ancient India, Doctor?
Yes, but that isn't the only instance. Auricular confession was also practiced among the ancient Mithraics, or Persians, and by the Parsees proper of that same country. Mr. Volney tells us, I quote from him, they observed all the Christian sacraments, even to the laying on of hands in confirmation. And the Christian Tertullian also tells us, again I quote, the priests of Mithra promised absolution from sin on confession and baptism. And another author adds, on such occasions, Mithra marked his followers, the servants of God, in their foreheads, and then he celebrated the sacrifice of bread, which is the resurrection.
You say confession was practiced among the what was the word you used, Doctor?
Mithraics.
Yes. Who were the Mithraics? I don't believe I've ever heard of that religion.
Well, the Mithraics are worshippers of Mithra, were, as I mentioned, originally Persians. However, the religion spread into Europe and became very popular. In fact, an attempt was even made by the Emperor Julian, known to Christian history as Julian the Apostate, to substitute it for the accepted faith. And once more, he very nearly succeeded. So, you see, it was only by chance that the believers in Orthodox faith are Christians and not Mithraic.
Say, that is interesting.
The god of the Mithraic cult or religion was the Persian sun god. And it is more than probable that the Christians adopted the Mithraic day of worship, Sun Day, instead of the original Jewish Sabbath. However, the legend of the adoration of the shepherds and the doctrine of the washing away of sins by means of blood are also more than likely ideas borrowed from the Mithraic cult. The Mithraist actually did bathe in blood and was thereby born again.
Isn't it strange how time and time again you find the same doctrines which are taught by Orthodox belief today occurring in pagan cults?
No, I would not say that it is so strange. For if you trace back the history of religion, you will find one sect always borrowing ideas from a sect that existed prior to it.
And as you say, this is also true of absolution.
Yes, indeed. I have already mentioned several instances, and here are some more. In the collection of Jewish laws called the Mishnah, we are told the Jews confessed their sins by placing their hands upon a calf belonging to the priest, and that this was called the confession of calves. Confessing sins was practiced in ancient Mexico, also under Numa of Rome, whose priests, we are informed, had to clear their own consciences by confessing their sins before they could offer sacrifices. The practice of confessing and forgiving sins, as recommended in the Christian Bible and practiced by some of the Christian sects, has been the source of much practical evil by furnishing a pretext and license, to some extent, for the commission of crime and sin. While sins can be so easily obliterated, they will be committed, perpetrated without much remorse or restraint. In China, says the Reverend Mr. P. Trott, the invocation of Omito is sufficient to remit the punishment of the greatest crimes. The same author tells us, the ancient initiation of the pagans had tribunals of penance where the priests, under the name of Roes, heard from the mouth of the sinners themselves the avowal of their sins, of which their souls were to be purified, and from the punishment of which they wished to be exempted. The granting of absolution for sin or misconduct among the early primitive Christians was so common, St. Cyprian informs us, that thousands of reprieves were granted daily, which served as an indirect license to crime. And thus the doctrine of divine forgiveness, as taught by pagans and Christians, has proven to be demoralizing in its effects upon society.
I'd like to ask another question, Doctor, if you don't mind.
Well, I certainly don't mind.
Well, this question also has to do with the discussion I mentioned when I came in. This fellow asked me why you went on the air and talked about these things. He thought it would be just as well, even though what you say is true, not to publicize it.
Well, I'll tell you about that. and tell you just why I don't agree with your friend. It is my life's work to tell the American people the truth concerning Orthodox religious systems, because when they have seen the fallacy and the paganism of these systems, they will cast their eyes somewhere else for a conception of God which is true. And that's the important thing. It isn't that I am principally concerned with exposing Orthodox beliefs simply for that end in itself. Not at all. I want to show that these beliefs are untrue, because if they are, then the truth must lie somewhere else. Not in meaningless, obscure, contradictory dogma and pagan creeds, but in something alive and powerful and ever-present, something which people can apply in their daily lives.
Well, Dr. Robinson, that surely is a very commendable purpose. And I wish we had more time to continue this little talk, but I see by the clock there that we've only a few more minutes left. And I would like to hear that organ selection I missed because of my being late.
Well, I guess that can be arranged. Suppose I play Remembrance by Deppen.
That will suit me perfectly.
Doesn't it seem to you that these little informal discussions by Dr. Robinson are always too short? It seems the hands of the clock simply race around the dial. So instead of being satisfied with only a fragment of Dr. Robinson's message, why not get the complete outline? Dr. Robinson will send it to you gladly, without charge, without obligating you in any way. All you have to do is write to him and say, "Please send me the free outline of Psychiana." It will be mailed to you at once. Address your letter to Dr. Frank Robinson, care of the station to which you are listening, or directly to Dr. Robinson's home in Moscow, Idaho. If you do write to Moscow, Idaho, be sure to include the words Radio Department in the address. We return you now to your local announcer, who will tell you when and at what time Dr. Robinson will be on the air again.